Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Is it time to make the leap into multifamily? And what's happening in the financing space when it comes to real estate, and especially commercial real estate? That's what we're going to talk about today. We've got a great guest on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, one of the things about your strategy and your finances has to do with your loans and how we leverage real estate. And we're going to talk today about the state of the union in commercial lending.
You know, I started out in this whole thing in the mortgage business and doing financial strategy and the strategic use of debt and equity to grow wealth quicker. Did all the seminars, managing your mortgage for maximum net worth, and some of the other things we would do in the strategy consultations. It was a ton of fun. And the thing that I found out is that the mortgage industry, whether it's commercial or residential, it changes. Obviously, we know interest rates move around. Interest rates have been very, very low. Lending guidelines change. Of course, the whole world changed after the crash. And, you know, in the apartment space in particular, there has been a compression of cap rates, meaning that the prices are getting bid up high relative to the rents. And so you have to ask yourself, is there still room to play? And how does that all work out? Funding is the thing that makes it happen. Funding is the fuel that drives or powers your real estate investment vehicle. And so access to funding and understanding funding and having a quality funder in your asset classes on your team is critical. And today we've got a guy who just really knows this space cold. I'm very, very excited to hear what he has to say.
Well, absolutely. And this information changes. That's the whole thing about your lending professionals. No matter what you invest in, is the programs that are available, what the leverage ratios look like, and things like debt coverage ratio, and all these things change, and they're a moving platform based on who's in the market lending, how long those funds are available for, what amortization looks like, and those loan to value, those things. And so we like to visit with Michael from time to time to see what's happening in the marketplace. And this is something you need to do whatever market you're in, whatever product type you're in, is make sure that your thumb's on the pulse. A lot of single family investors might only buy an asset every 2 or 3 years. Well, I promise that in 2 or 3 years, the lending guidelines have changed a ton. The time to find out isn't when you're making an offer, it's a little bit before. And there's another nuance in today's show, and that is that Michael, for many years, has been in the banking business and the lending side of things. And the last few years, he's also been in the multifamily space as an active buyer, a syndicator of deals in multifamily. So in our world, and Mike comes to a lot of our events, he is got this dual personality. On one hand, brilliant lender, understands the space a ton. On the other hand, he's walking his talk.
Well, I think that's important. I mean, you know, if you really believe in what you're doing, how do you not partake? I mean, you're sitting there watching all these deals go by. You see these people making all this money and you say, well, gee, how come I'm only on one side of this thing when I really could be on both sides of it? And of course, that's Michael's story and that's what he's done. But what he's done and how quickly he's done it has really been remarkable. And we've known him almost the entire time. He was just getting started on the investor side of it after having been on the lending side of it for so long, but actually getting onto the side of the table where he's putting deals together. And where he was then when we first met him to where he is today is remarkable. Don't want to steal any of his thunder. You're going to hear the story, but wow, it's very, very impressive. Lots to learn from this guy.
He is a wealth of knowledge and he's doing the thing. When we come back, you'll meet Michael Becker today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Man, Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com. The Personal Development Event of the Year is right around the corner. If you want to achieve powerful results in 2016, then make plans to attend Success Mastery Academy with the legendary Brian Tracy live and in person. It's three transformational days that will propel your business, career, and finances to the next level. Surrounded by hundreds of successful investors, entrepreneurs, and achievers. This is Robert Helms, and I strongly encourage you to be part of this incredible event. I've been a student of Brian's for many years and have had the great fortune of being part of the original Success Mastery Academy 20 years ago. Now you can join me with Brian Tracy and his special guests Darren Hardy, Vic Johnson, Tom Ziegler, Ron White, and many more May 13th through 15th in Dallas. Go to BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com or send a quick email to SMA@RealEstateGuysRadio.com for all the details. Master the proven principles of success. Go to BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com or send an email to SMA@RealEstateGuysRadio.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Join Brian Tracy and the Real Estate Guys for Success Mastery Academy.
Hello, Robert Kiyosaki. Listen to the Real Estate Guys. They're wild and crazy, but they really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. We're talking about the state of the union when it comes to what's happening financially, specifically financing property. And loan programs change all the time, depending on property type, area of the country, all those things that are happening. So the Real Estate Guys really don't keep our head in that space any further than just having a few folks who really know, and the gentleman you're about to meet is certainly one of those. You've probably heard him on the show before. You've been to one of our syndication events or the summit. You've met Mr. Michael Becker from Ode Capital. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, Robert. Doing well.
Great to have you on the summit this year, my friend.
Yeah, it was a great time to get around like-minded people, and you know, the quality of people on the cruise was, you know, extremely high, and I was very impressed with everyone I met.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, you know, a lot changes in your business, and as a commercial lender, you guys are looking at all kinds of stuff, from retail to wholesale to industrial, your specialty, of course, multifamily. And what we're trying to do this week is get our pulse on what's going on. Is there money available? What's the landscape look like? Paint us the big picture, Mike, on what you're seeing in terms of availability of loans.
You know, for commercial real estate lending, today is about as good as it's going to get. I mean, there's an abundance of capital. Regional community banks are still very engaged in the commercial real estate lending. And then also on the agency side for multifamily, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are both very, very active. They're the two largest lenders in the space. They each have a bucket of about $31 billion each to go out and fill up this year with multifamily loans. And then the CMBS, our commercial mortgage-backed security loans, they're still out there and available. It's a little tougher than it was back pre-recession, but they're still pretty active. You can place, you know, office, industrial, retail, and apartments into it as well.
Well, it's interesting, you know, Fannie and Freddie have a lot of money to lend, and that's great news. They, like everyone, have to get capital to work, and so they're looking for projects that make sense. And of course, today we'll talk about exactly what that means, because just because there's money available doesn't mean it's available to you. But let's talk about the first couple of categories, because the small regional banks are a great source for folks, especially if they're in a market, they know that market, they're investing in apartments, say. A regional bank can be a great opportunity. Talk about that.
Yeah, the regional banks are great resources for a lot of different reasons. In particular, if you're a first timer into it, usually you need to kind of cut your teeth on a deal. Most of those properties would be starting getting a loan at a regional community bank. Will have you come in and sign a personal guarantee or sign recourse on the loan. And usually you're putting down 25 to 30%. So you're getting a 70 to 75% loan to cost. They'll generally let you roll on some of the renovations if you want to either, you know, upgrade the office building or upgrade an apartment complex. They'll let you typically roll that into the loans.
So meaning if I find a property property that needs some work, and that's part of the attraction of the property, I can actually finance some of that work.
That's right, yeah. So if you're buying a property, say you're buying an apartment complex and the rents are low because the units need to be upgraded or the exterior needs to be painted, something along those lines, they'll typically let you roll that into the overall cost and loan you 70 to 75% of that, as well as the 70 to 75% of the purchase price as well.
Now, Michael, for these local and regional banks, is there any kind of minimum loan amount, usually maximum loan amount? What does that look like?
Yeah, and it's varied depending on where you're at and which bank you go to. So it's a whole lot of it depends answers.
Yep.
But generally speaking, most banks want to see somewhere around $300,000 to $400,000 on the low end. And depending on the size of the bank, some of these banks have legal lending limits of $2 or $3 million. Some of them, if you go to, like, say, a Wells Fargo, will have, you know, essentially unlimited legal lending limits. So you can't fill them up. But they'll have internal kind of house limits where if you get too large, they'll want to go out and to participate the loan with some other banks. They'll kind of syndicate the loan with three or four other banks and you know, get the larger deals done. But for most people on your listenership, it'll generally be, you know, $500,000, you know, maybe $400,000 on the low end, up to $10-20 million on the high end.
Well, it's a good point you bring up about the syndicate part, because we think of real estate syndication as pulling together capital from investors so we can do bigger deals, which it works for. Banks do the same thing, and banks do it to divide the risk. So a small bank might decide, hey, this is a real worthwhile project, but we really aren't comfortable loaning this much. What if we got a couple of other banks involved and we spread the risk?
That's right. Yeah. So banks are always looking to mitigate their risk and make sure they don't over concentrate in certain silos of, you know, office buildings or retail or even just commercial loans and industry types. So they have internal house limits and the regulators force them to, you know, make sure that they stay within balance and don't get overexposed in one certain asset type or class, which could potentially impair the health and safety of the bank overall.
So that's local and regional banks, a great resource for sure when you're getting started. Ultimately, you can probably get a little better terms and also get non-recourse loans, non-recourse against the principals by going with Fannie and Freddie. Paint the picture on what those loans look like in terms of what it takes to get them done.
Sure. Fannie and Freddie are, like I mentioned earlier, they're both very active. The largest lenders, one and two in the multifamily space. What they focus on are, you know, experienced principals. They don't want to come in and have a first timer get a loan. You know, if you back up about 10 years ago when we're in the height of the bubble, they were less discriminant on their underwriting guidelines. They would allow a first timer, someone with no experience, to come in, buy a property, maybe even out of state, maybe even self-manage it. And then, of course, when, you know, the music stopped, those were the loans that certainly went bad. So now they make sure that you have some level of experience on the principal team. So whether that's the main guy putting it together or someone he brings onto his team to sign on with them, they want to make sure that they have a level of experience and track record behind them. And if you don't live in the area, they certainly want to make sure that you have a way to manage the deal. So, you know, hiring professional third-party management is typically a must when you're coming into these deals and you're relatively young in your real estate career. So those are some things that you're doing. But if you can fit the box, you're getting, you know, anywhere from 7, 10, or 12-year fixed-rate loans. They're still, the 10 and 12-year fixed-rate loans are still in the mid-4s today. So that's pretty attractive. You're getting upwards of, you know, 1 to 3 years of interest only on the front end, and then it goes into a 30-year amortization. The loan up to 80% of cost. They'll also actually let you roll in some of the closing costs and the renovations, you know, so you want to come and improve the buildings as well. They'll let you roll up to $5,000 a unit into the total cost and loan you up to 80% of that in most areas. So certain areas they kind of, they call pre-review. So certain areas they'll be a little bit more conservative with, say like Houston, for example, with the oil slump. They're a little conservative in Houston, so they'll dial down the leverage a little bit. But in most areas of the country, it's wide open and they have money to lend.
Well, this brings up a good point, which is your lender is your partner. And part of your business plan is to show what the intent is of the property. If you're just buying a performing asset, well, great. You may not need any of those CapEx or improvement costs involved. But if you're, again, buying something where there's upside opportunity, the lender understands that. And especially Fannie and Freddie, they're going to get that. And so as long as they feel like you've got, one, experience, as you mentioned, and two, you've really got your mind around what those costs will be. You know, these folks understand costs to renovate apartments. So as long as those are in line, I'm going to guess that might qualify depending, again, on the area.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, and one thing I want to make sure that I do point out, you know, real estate prices certainly have risen over the last several years. And what I'm seeing in the marketplace, the lenders are still pretty conservative. This is not like it was back 10 years ago. There's still real underwriting guidelines. We're not doing things like before, where they would just do everything off of a pro forma financial statement, where you're expecting rents to go way up even though the market doesn't support it. Or back pre-recession, they were doing things like full-term interest-only loans. They were doing things without lender-required tax and insurance and replacement reserve escrows, where now that's generally in place. So the lending guidelines are still pretty tight. So I don't think that we have a lender fuel bubble out there. I know that was one of the things a lot of people keep asking me, where we are in the cycle and how's the lending environment compared to, you know, pre-recession. So I think we're still pretty conservative out there. So I don't think that the guidelines aren't so far out of whack. They still have a reasonably low interest rate, so you can get for a long-term fixed rate interest rate. So the environment's pretty healthy. It's a good time to be a borrower, and there's abundance of capital out there right now.
You know, it's a great point that just because there's capital available doesn't mean that the standards are being lowered. Quite the opposite. In fact, this is a healthy thing. We've seen the lending market mature. Having gone through 2007, 8, 9, having seen what happened there, lenders got pretty smart. At first, it was the knee-jerk reaction where they'd simply say, "And we're just not making any loans." But now over time, we've seen lenders recognize they have to get the money to work. It makes sense to be in prudent investments, but they need to be smart about it. And so that might apply to a lot of different areas. We've certainly, and I know you have a focus on multifamily, but your company actually does loans for other asset classes as well. So maybe while we're talking about it, what's Fannie and Freddie's appetite for other asset classes besides apartments?
They don't have any. So if you want to do a different asset class, like office or retail, for example, those would go back to the community bank type lenders, large national banks, or, you know, CMBS or life loans. So those are still pretty abundant and available. They don't quite have all the same advantages of a Fannie or a Freddie, because it's not a core. It's not something the government believes is for the greater good, and they want an agency like Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac to support it. But you still have, like on a CMBS, for example, you still have, you know, up to 10-year terms, 30-year amortizations, you know, up to 75% leverage with non-recourse. These are good products for someone that's either looking for an asset class like that, office, retail, industrial, or going back to multifamily. If you're a first-timer or you're a foreign buyer, you live in Canada and you want to buy a property in the United States, this would be a product that would be a better fit for you than a Fannie or a Freddie product on an apartment complex.
Now, what about refinancing? It gets very complicated in the commercial world because of these defeasance clauses, and lenders put the money out to work and they often don't want to be paid back early. But is there an opportunity today, if you, say, have an apartment building or have a small strip center, to look at refinancing that?
I would think that now would be one of the better times. If you want to hold an asset and you have a maturity coming up in the next couple of years, now would probably be a pretty reasonable time to look to put longer term fixed rate debt, if this is something you want to hold for the duration, for another 10 years or so. The rates are still low. The availability of funds is abundant. There's a ton of money out in the market, and you can get, you know, 10-year fixed rate money in the fours. You know, to your point about defeasance or yield maintenance prepayment penalties, those are some things that you got to pay attention to. So if you have a very large prepayment penalty on these loans and you're trying to refinance them or sell them early, it could be punitive or financially prohibitive to go out and actually refinance it. But if you have an open loan that's ready to prepay, it's something you want to hold for the long term, I think now would be amongst the better times to go out and look to put permanent debt on it, for sure. You know, who knows what the economic cycle is going to be? We're, you know, 7 or 8 years long in the tooth in the cycle, and now might be a good time to, you know, set it and take some of the risk out for the long term.
All right, so it sounds like there's money available. That's good news. Rates are still good. That's good news. Lending guidelines are sensible. Let's talk about what it takes for a promoter, a sponsor, to get a loan today.
Sure. What generally speaking, what the banks or Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac is looking for from a sponsor is they want you to have some liquidity and some net worth behind the loan. They don't want you putting your last nickel into the deal. So generally, kind of the guidelines and rules of thumb that I like to give out, you know, on a commercial bank, like a community bank or a regional bank, what they typically look for is 20% or so in post-closing liquidity. So after you guys put your down payment, the people who guarantee the loan, you know, either a person person or a group of people that guarantee a loan have 20% or so in post-closing liquidity, as well as they generally want your net worth to be equal to or greater than the loan amount. Switching over to Fannie and Freddie, what they typically want is 10% or greater in post-closing liquidity and the same net worth to be equal to or greater than the loan amount. So they definitely just don't want you putting the last nickel in the deal. They want you to have capacity to support the deal if you hit an issue or there's a boiler that goes out and you got to replace it for $40,000 or something like that. They definitely don't. They're your partner. They're putting in, you know, upwards of 80% of the loan, but they want to make sure that you have the capacity to see the deal throughout, you know, many challenges.
Again, just common sense, but it's a changed world when it comes to lending. Now, you mentioned the part about experience, and so you and or your team need to have experience these days. How do you demonstrate that to the lender?
Typically what they're going to ask for is a real estate resume and a schedule of real estate owned. So they're going to say, what do you own? So give a list of the property name, the location, number of units, or the size of the commercial building. That's generally what they're looking for, than a basic real estate resume. So everyone starts somewhere, Robert. So you have to get your first loan at some point. So if you don't have the experience, you know, typically we're going to kind of steer you to a community bank where they'll make you sign recourse. And then once you kind of build a track record, that's when you can go over into the Fannie Freddie or CMBS world. That's typically what they want. And then if you don't have experience, you know, certainly we'll want to have someone on your team that has experience, either someone to sign on the loan with you, and or we have like a third-party management company that they get, the bank can lean on their track record, their properties they manage to kind of mitigate the lack of experience risk that you have.
Well, of course, this is one of the big value adds on your side of the table, which is you look at a lot of loans, you look at the ones that get funded and the ones that don't. So that gives you a perspective for sure. In addition, and of course, what we're going to talk about after the break is you're an active syndicator, you're doing deals, you own lots of units. So you can help a borrower figure out, are they strong enough on paper? What do they need to fill in the blanks? Where do you send them to get the loan? And so that's part of it too, is knowing where to go based on the borrower's criteria.
Like you said, I've you know, been a long time banker, commercial mortgage broker. My company, we have five or six people that do what I do for a living and go out and originate loans. And I also eat what I cook, right? So we go out and I'm not only out there loaning money, but we go out and I'm an active borrower and we've done, you know, many deals. And I, you know, I have a perspective of what it's like to be on both sides of the table.
Which is great. You know, you have some folks go, well, isn't that a conflict of interest? If Mike's actually doing loans, but he's, you know, competing in the market for properties, is that a conflict? Well, I don't think so. First of all, even though he's buying a lot of stuff, he can't even scratch the surface in terms of what's available. Nobody can. And I think it makes you a much stronger lender by having that seat knowledge, by actually having to do the thing. I would almost argue that a great lender without any personal assets only understands half the equation. So I think that's critical. And really, when you're starting out especially, you want to make sure you start right. And there's a lot of mistakes you can avoid if you'll just get some good counsel going on. In fact, I know you've got some great things for people to consider, the things that you pound the table on, so to speak. So give us some of those guidelines, Michael.
Yeah, just to kind of summarize some of the things that you want to make sure you take into account when you're structuring your loan and your debt and your equity together, basically, is you want to make sure that, you know, what's the exit on the property? Are you going to buy this thing, rehab it, and flip it in a year? So if you do that, we want to make sure we put something, a loan product on that has a flexible prepayment penalty. Or if this is a core asset for you, you want to hold it for long term, you know, let's go out and try to place the like a 10 or a 12 year fixed rate loan so you can ride out multiple economic cycles with your loan and not have a maturity at a bad time. You know, when you're going out there structuring the deal, make sure that, you know, the debt's pretty cheap. So you want to make sure that you get the right level of leverage, but not to over leverage a deal at the same time. Because if, you know, you do hit a little soft patch or the rental projections aren't quite as high as you think they're going to be, you want to make sure that you're not over encumbering the property with too much debt. You know, one of the things I always like to make sure that, you know, when I'm talking to somebody who counsel, and this is what I do, you don't distribute everything that you have when you own an asset, that you retain some capital for the unexpected. You know, if you're producing $100,000 in free cash flow, maybe you only should distribute 75 of it. Make sure you have a little bit left over in case something happens or you get a little soft patch in the market and you need to, you know, turn a few extra units. You definitely want to make sure you have capital in hand, you're thinking for the long term, and you make sure that you put yourself in a position to sustain almost anything that can come at you.
Oh my gosh, that is gold right there. So many folks, when they start in real estate syndication, they're raising money from investors. manufacturers to go do bigger deals, they get excited when there's cash throw off and they want to show the love to the investors, which is great. But if you distribute all of that, the worst thing you can do is distribute a big win like that and then have a cash call the next quarter, right? Pretty prudent to sit on money. You do this in your own account. You have some reserves because you don't know, depending on how many properties you have, you're going to build up reserves in case those things happen, because they always do. When you're talking about bigger deals, when you're talking about other people's money, it's much harder to get money back from your investors than it is to just hang on some. It doesn't mean you don't report that you had the income to them. Hey, great news. The property's doing well. Management has elected to retain some of the earnings here so that we have the ballast we need moving forward. And then you can always distribute that in the future. So that's really good stuff. We're talking with Michael Becker from Old Capital. We've been talking about the lending side of things. When we come back, we're going to pick Mike's brain about getting into the syndication business and what that looks like today. Is it minefield? Is it a good market? Is there property available? We'll talk about that next. And we'll play real estate trivia here on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many U.S. presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait. Go download it now.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, everyone. This is Jim Rickards, the author of The New Case for Gold, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, no matter how you listen, radio show, podcast, whatever. We appreciate that you're here. Hey, come join us in Dallas, Texas for our Success Mastery Academy, a three-day event including all kinds of amazing speakers. Most importantly, last week's guest, Brian Tracy. You're not going to want to miss this. Go to BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com for all the details. That's BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com. We're talking about finding commercial deals and the loans for them today with Michael Becker. Before we get back to that interview, it's time to play real estate trivia. Your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you a real estate trivia question, and you're going to come up with the answer. When you think you have the answer, send it to us via email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. The first person with the right answer is going to win an amazing book by the founder of RE/MAX, Dave Leniger. It's called My Next Step. It's actually not about real estate, but it's an inspiring story. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we had Brian Tracy on the show, and we gave away a special Brian Tracy gift package. Here was our question. Where in the world is the highest swimming pool? Well, the answer is at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel on the 118th floor of Hong Kong's International Commerce Center. The swimming pool is approximately 1,600 feet in the air. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. In the movie Purple Rain, the late great Prince played the Kid, whose band and the rival bands performed at a local nightclub. Where was the actual nightclub that was used in the filming of the movie? That's what makes it a real estate trivia question. Where is the nightclub they used when they filmed Purple Rain? Where does it actually exist today? And it's the same place it existed when the movie was filmed. If you know or think you want to take a guess, you've probably been reading a lot about Prince these days and maybe you have a good idea, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address, because we're going to send you physically this great book, My Next Step by Dave Leniger. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're with Michael Becker today from Old Capital. Michael has spent years helping folks like you get the financing they need to acquire bigger assets, specifically multifamily and apartment. And of course, for the last several years, he's been eating his own cooking, as we talk about. How long has it been, Mike, since you've actually started investing yourself?
In the commercial and apartment business, about 3 years. Overall, I bought some stuff on my own account for about 5 years now.
All right, so 3 years in the multifamily space and in syndication, raising capital to go
That's
do
right.
it.
Yep.
How many units to date?
We've done about 3,000 units, and we have a little bit over 600 in escrow right now.
All right, so I'd call that pretty good, right? So this is a great paradigm breaker. For anyone who thinks you can't get started quickly, now I will give you that. Mike does have the experience in the lending side, but it's easy to find a guy like him or him to put on your team to get that part handled. So you can collapse timeframes in the multifamily space for sure. But, you know, Mike, we've heard that it's very competitive out there. People are bidding for properties. Prices are going up. Cap rates are getting squeezed. What does it look like, not only from the position of you guys are out looking to acquire, but also your clients?
I focus primarily on the DFW market, so that's where the properties that I buy, and we have to be in one of the most competitive active markets in all of the country. So I couldn't imagine it's a whole lot more competitive pretty much anywhere than my own backyard. So it's a tough world out there. I mean, there's a lot of buyers chasing deals. The inventory, while we have a lot of apartment stock here, the inventory on the market currently, as we sit in April 2016, is a little bit tight. I think it's about to open up here in 2017, 2018. There's a whole lot of CMBS maturities. In the last cycle, people put on 10-year loans, and all these loans are starting to come mature. So I think we're going to start seeing a little bit more inventory kind of open up. There's definitely demand. There's definitely investors chasing, money chasing these deals. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more equilibrium. But right now, it's pretty competitive. You're having to go out and be pretty aggressive with your offers. A lot of these offers require non-refundable earnest money up front. Short timelines, no financing contingencies, things like that. So really having your ducks in order and knowing what you're doing, having your team in place, having an idea where you're going to get your capital, all these things are a necessity before you go out and actually, you know, tie something up and you know, put your capital at risk.
Well, especially with these shortened time frames, this happens anytime a market is strong, whether it's single family or office or whatever it is. If the market gets strong, it gets tight, the agents and the sellers know that. And so rather than give you 60 days, they might give you 21 days. You might have shorter inspection periods, all those things.
Or no inspection period.
Or none whatsoever, right, if it's really hot. And so it's incumbent to you as the investor and or promoter to make sure you're ready to go. If you're active in a marketplace, you better be in there. You better know what's happening. You better be realistic. I mean, the worst thing to do is to have a 10-day contingency and then not be able to get the work done in those period of time. So how do you stay current on what's happening, the pulse of the market?
Yeah, so I'm in the market all the time, all day, every day. So I know all the players, all the brokers that sell the type of product that I want to buy. I'm constantly talking to other owners. I'm going to networking meetings. I'm going to the syndication event. I'm talking to other people around the country that are doing it. And so I get a little flavor of what's going on in some of the other markets as well. But it's just really being in the market, talking to the brokers, being on top of them, staying on their list, calling on these deals, going on tours, talking to your management company, talking to your commercial mortgage broker. I mean, the loans that we do as a company, we'll do about $500 million in loans a year with the, you know, most of it being a multifamily. So we see a lot of transactions. We're seeing a lot of guys. We'll have, you know, sometimes multiple guys talk to us about the same deal if it's here in our backyard. So we're pretty active in the space. So just being around other professionals that are actively in the space, keeping a pulse on the market. We also subscribe to a lot of data services, so we understand what the rental rates are doing on our competitors, so we make sure that we can keep up with our properties. So if the market, the property down the street raises their rents $25, we want to make sure we're right there with them, so we capture all the revenue along the way. So just being active, going to events, meeting people, talking to people, picking their brains, that's you know, probably honestly the best way to stay on top of the what's going on in the marketplace.
You know, it's interesting that with 3,000 units and adding more, that everything that you're doing is in one geographic area. It is pretty hard to be dispersed into too many marketplaces and have that kind of knowledge.
That's very true. I can't stress that enough. I know a lot of I see a lot of guys out there that are in four or five markets and they're just a one man band. They don't have a team, they don't have a staff. It's one thing for a group like, say, Keddie. You know, you're friends with Ken McElroy and he's a big supporter of the podcast and you guys. And Ken's got a team. They have 10,000 units and they probably have 200 employees and regional managers. And it's one thing to build up to it, but if you're out there and you're aspiring to do it, you've done a deal, you've done two deals, you're in three or four different markets, it's really hard to kind of keep your pulse on the market. And it's really hard to justify your time and your energy to take a flight to go to Amarillo, Texas, to look at your one deal. And then you got to go to Ohio or Florida, and you're just spread out so thin. It's really hard to fully understand what's going on in the marketplace. And I think you maybe open yourself up to a little bit more exposure to not be able to react quick enough to, you know, changing economic cycles. If something changes in Dallas, I got a pretty good feeling I'm going to be right on top of the pulse of the market. And I'll kind of see it coming or see it before most, because we have so much product, so many units here. We see a soft patch, I'll see it in my monthly financial reports.
You know, I think this brings up a great topic of discussion anyway, which is part of your personal investment philosophy. How close to you does the property need to be? That's going to vary by product type. If you're a hands-on rehabber, for instance, you're going to have to be pretty close to the property. If you're a buy-and-hold passive single-family investor, well, then it's easy to diversify into multiple markets. In fact, that could be a really good strategy. Rather than have all your eggs in a single market basket, you might have single-family homes, say, or duplexes, fourplexes, kind of low-maintenance properties in multiple marketplaces. But when you have an asset that is as hands-on and as critical as multifamily or even some of the other commercial properties, then it does make sense to pay attention. I mean, it's funny talking about Kenny. Yeah, he does have a big staff, and still he's in a half a dozen markets. It's not 20 markets, right? And he has two or three that he specializes in. So all that to say, pick your market carefully. Before you ever start looking at property, you need to understand the market. It's one of the reasons we're excited to have you joining us on our investor field trip again. We're doing a field trip to Dallas, Texas in June, the end of June of this year, and Michael's going to be on that trip with us. The reason we love that is it's not just because he's a multifamily guy. It's because he knows this market so well. Having you on the bus is great, because there are things you know about this marketplace that nobody else knows, or at least not too many people do, and that's a great resource. So the tour itself, we don't sell any real estate as the Real Estate Guys. It's just an educational event, but you're going to learn a ton about the market, the drivers. And even if you're not interested in Dallas, I think what you'll learn on the trip is how to look at a market through the eyes of a seasoned investor, right? You share a lot of that in the trip. We appreciate that. Well, let's talk about now the syndication side. So most of the deals, I would say all the deals that you've done, you do with partners and you're raising capital. What does that side of the equation look like? Is there that sort of capital, private equity out there? Are they interested in these deals?
I can't tell you how much easier it is today than it was 2-3 years ago when I was really starting to do the first several deals that I did. And part of that's track record. Once you do a deal or do multiple deals, you have a track record, and the ability to attract people that would trust you with their money is much easier to do it once you have a track record. But then part of that's just the market, the cycle. You know, going on the cruise, we heard a lot about big macroeconomic events and what's kind of coming, and what everyone like Simon Black and Peter Schiff and all those guys were talking about, kind of the gloom and doom of the macroeconomic or global economy. So everyone's scared. Everyone's scared to put their money in the stock market. So they're looking for alternatives. There's no yield in this world right now, seemingly. So they're looking for things that produce yield. And commercial real estate, or even residential real estate like single family homes, those are places that actually produce a real yield. You have actual, tangible collateral, something you put your hands on. And it's a very, very simple investment. That's what I really like about it. So if I can articulate the simple fact that I'm buying a property, the rents are $100 too low, and I just raise rents, and thereby extension, I increase the ability to return capital, increase the value of the property. That's a very simple concept for most people to understand. So the ability to trap capital is so much easier today than it was 2-3 years ago, just because many factors, predominantly with what's going on, and there are alternatives. There's not very many good alternatives to place your capital right now.
Obviously, we love real estate because it's a hard asset, and no matter what happens in the economic uncertainty we may be sailing into, people have to have a roof over their heads, and they're going to figure that part. It'll be a big part of what they focus on in their economic lives. So that's critical. You know, I think, Michael, one of the observations I have is there's another part to that equation, and that is you have continued to sharpen your axe. You've gotten better at what you're doing. And as we were visiting before the interview, I mean, there's some things you're really putting into practice that are awesome. And in fact, Mike's going to be at the Secrets of Successful Syndication, and that happens June 3rd and 4th in Dallas, Texas. Seems like we have all these things coming up in Dallas. It's not just because Becker's in Dallas. No, it's just the way that it's worked on the calendar. But on June 3rd and 4th, it's our Secrets of Success successful syndication. Becker's going to be there. And the reason you want to hang out at this event is the caliber of folks that come is amazing. The content from the folks who are actually doing this business in the front of the room is huge. And Michael's going to share with us this time just some of the best practices and ideas they're doing to raise money quickly. So you're going to want to be at that event for sure. And we're excited to have you back at the syndication event.
Yeah, it'll be probably my fifth or sixth one now. I guess I'm a slow learner, right? So, I'm happy to share some best practices. And I was reflecting when I was driving over for the interview today, when I went to the first one, I think I had about 600 units the first time I went to the syndication event. Now, when I close the next couple deals we have in escrow, will be over 3,500 units done. So, what happens?
Start coming to the syndication events, you never know what's going to happen.
That's right. But just the ability to kind of hang out with people, be around people in similar interest levels and have a similar mindset. You don't get that in everyday run of life, you know, interactions with people. Most people are thinking about their 401k and saving money and clipping coupons, and go to an environment where you have an abundance mentality and learn from guys that are actually out there doing deals. So, you know, hopefully we can share, you know, some nuggets of information that maybe you take one thing away and really help you be able to change your mindset or implement something in your actually daily activities that can, you know, yield some level of positive results for you.
So if you're driving or exercising, hopefully, or any of that, don't have to remember all these dates and times. Just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events. You'll see where the real estate guys are going. And Mr. Michael Becker's often part of those things. Hey, before we get you out of here, we want to talk about your new podcast. So tell us about the Old Capital Real Estate Investing Podcast. How long have you been doing the podcast, Mike?
We've been doing it for a little bit over a year now. And like we're joking about, we have dozens and dozens of listeners now. So I'd love if anyone listening to this wants to hear what we do is we interview people in the marketplace. Clients of ours that actually borrow money, that you're actively out there doing deals, or vendors in the market like management companies, insurance agents, places like that, that actually support the multifamily industry. So if you're interested in multifamily lending, hearing stories of people that are actively out there buying and operating real estate, this would be a good resource for you to come in and listen. We try to do them every other week or so, and it's on iTunes and Stitcher. If you just search Old Capital Real Estate Investing Podcast, it should come up, and we'd love for everyone to come listen to it.
All right, Michael's put a bunch of his ideas together in a report that we offered the last time I had you on. I understand you've updated and freshened the report. So whether you've gotten a copy or not, if you've already requested this report, you'll automatically get the updated version. If you haven't, all you have to do is send an email to multifamily@realestateguysradio.com. multifamily@realestateguysradio.com. Mike, what do they see in the report?
The basic blocking and tackling, everything you need to know on the high level to get a basic understanding of what it's going to take to get a apartment property financed, some basic terms, some basic underwriting guidelines of what, you know, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Community Bank would generally be looking for.
We threw a lot of terms out there today. His report makes that pretty clear, especially if you're a single family investor looking to make that jump into multifamily. This would be a great place to start. Just send an email to multifamily@realestateguysradio.com. Michael Becker, as always, thanks for your great wisdom and for being on the show today.
I appreciate you having me back. Thank you.
We'll see you at the syndication event and at our Dallas field trip. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
To really get the most out of real estate investing, it's imperative that you pick the right market. But more goes into market analysis than just the latest headlines. Come learn how to see a real estate market through the eyes of experienced investors when the Real Estate Guys come to Dallas, Texas for an investor field trip. You'll learn a ton about what makes a market tick, and specifically the key advantages the DFW market and submarkets possess. Study the sustainable drivers, dig beneath the headlines, understand the financial metrics, and spend 2.5 days around other investors from other markets. And while no property is sold on the Real Estate Guys field trips, you will have the opportunity to pick the brains of real estate professionals that have been working in the market for years. Oh, and did we mention? It's a blast! Sample the local cuisine, experience the Dallas culture, and network like crazy. Visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events for all the details. That's realestateguysradio.com under events, and we'll see you in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, this is Doug Casey, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, whether you're listening on the podcast or on the radio or however you're listening. Tell a friend about the Real Estate Guys and be sure to join us May 13th, 14th, 15th in Dallas, Texas for Success Mastery Academy with the amazing Brian Tracy. You will not want to miss this event. It's going to be extraordinary. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. Oh my goodness. What a powerhouse, Michael Becker.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Mike's a brilliant guy. He really knows his stuff. There was a couple pearls of wisdom. I think what I'd like to do in our closing comments here is just kind of pull all those together for everybody because I think they're important. I got a page of notes, which is usually my habit. I have the good fortune to be able to sit here and watch you do these interviews all the time and then hear what people have to say and get a chance to kind of pull it out into some basic pearls of wisdom. But one of the things that he talked about that I think is really important to understand right now is that if your deal is real, you can find funding. I mean, it wasn't his words, but that's basically what he was saying. Common sense lending has come back. A lot of people, God, you know, you can't just go fog a mirror and get a loan anymore, you know, and you actually have to have positive cash flow and you have to have cash reserves and you have to have experience. What's the world coming to? And I remember those heady days where you could just go buy anything with a signature. Of course, we all learned a lesson out of that.
What the world's coming to is its senses.
Yes, it's coming to its senses. But then you think, oh, they swung the pendulum too far and you cannot get deals done.
And so they did for a little while.
They absolutely did. They had to because they had to figure out, you know, where the bodies were buried. They had to, you know, patch up the wounded and they had to bury the dead.
Still today, we're looking at headlines of these lawsuits that have to do with all that collateral and those CDOs and all that stuff back from, you know, years in past. That stuff's finally working its way through the court system. So it was an ugly mess. But luckily, as he said, he can't think of a better time to be a borrower of this type of money.
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you. When we scheduled this, I didn't expect that to be the case. I pay a lot of attention to the debt markets, and I initially wanted to happen to talk a lot about the commercial mortgage-backed security space, CMBS. He mentioned that term a few times. And the reason I wanted that is because in the commercial debt market, the corporate debt market, the yields on junk debt, which is the low-quality corporate debt, has risen, which tells you that people recognize the risk, and they're starting to be concerned about the quality of debt. The low oil prices have been a big part of that because there was a lot of debt issued to oil companies that have really suffered. And so when a sector like the corporate debt market, especially in the oil sector, begins to go sour, just like the subprime market in pre-2008, it can have a contagion effect. It can spread. And the big concern I had being a real estate investor is how is the concern about corporate debt going to roll over into commercial debt? And is the weakness there a reflection of weakness in demand for that kind of debt? And to hear him come in and say, oh no, there's plenty of money available. People are willing to lend it. You just have to have a deal make sense. You have to know what you're doing, have a quality team, have a quality deal. I thought, wow, that's really, really good news.
You know, he brought up something else, which we didn't get back to, but I think we can now. And this is brilliant. He's always looking at the market, but he's looking forward. And he mentioned specifically with those types of loans you're talking about that there's going to be maturities coming up. And just to paint a picture, if you invest in single family houses, there's so much capital and so many different sources of lending that it's pretty simple to refi, replace a loan, sell, all that stuff. Very little prepayment penalties, occasionally at the beginning year or two, but usually not. Apartment space and other commercial loans, very different. A lender at that level wants to put out several million dollars for a determined period of time, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years. And that's not ish. That's exactly, which means when those loans come due, owners have two choices. They can refinance starting at whatever loan programs and rates and LTVs are available that minute, or they can sell. And so Michael, looking ahead, says next year, 2017, out on the horizon, he sees more deals coming up for sale.
You know, this really brings up a bigger concept of how do you seek opportunity? You know, Kiyosaki wrote Prophecy, and he said, hey, based on where the demographics of the baby boomers are, you know, and he wrote this back in 2002. In 2016, when they begin to hit those mandatory distributions, it's going to put downward pressure on the stock market. Harry Dent has been a guy that's looked at those macroeconomic trends. You know, we look right now, the baby boomers moving into their golden years, driving things like assisted living and some of the other things we've talked about on the show.
Well, and this month, we have just made the shift to where today there are more millennials than there are baby boomers. That's for the first time ever. And so, again, studying demographics is a huge part of this. Who lives in apartments? Millennials.
Right. So then, you know, you go and you look at, like, when these debts were issued, it's like in the insurance business, it's common for a new insurance agent to go out and just start prospecting people asking for when their insurance renewal date is.
Right.
It doesn't try and replace your insurance until it comes for renewal. And it's just the same thing. I mean, right now, interest rates are pretty favorable. If somebody owns an apartment, they still got a depreciation schedule left on it. If it's operating well and their financial situation hasn't changed, they're still lendable. Maybe they just roll the thing over and refinance it. But the point is, they're going to be looking at it because they have to. So there's going to be an opening. For some people, their circumstances are going to have changed. Maybe they say, hey, you know what? I've found better opportunities. My personal situation has changed. I'm not bankable anymore. I need the money. I'd rather do something else. Whatever it is, they're open to the idea of change. Looking at that gives you the opportunity to see there's a wave of inventory potentially coming available. And I, you know, honestly, before Michael said that, I hadn't thought of that. So that was a great tip.
Well, that's why we bring these folks on the show, because we can't know everything. You can't know everything, but what you can do is be connected. In fact, it's fun because one of the things that Becker is famous for, we all call him Becker backstage, by the way. So on the show, I'm referring to him as Mike and Michael, but we all call him Becker. And what Becker does and what he's brilliant at, he is the last guy standing at the cocktail party. And I don't mean that's because he's slamming beers. I mean that's because he recognizes...
It's because he's not. Everybody else is on the floor. That's why he's the last guy standing.
He understands that the deals get done around the coffee table, around the bar, around the event, and he's always available. So when you come on out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication or spend time with us on the field trip, you'll get to hang out with this guy, pick his brain. He loves to go over scenarios. You can bring him a package on a property and say, what do you think? Again, he personally is investing and financing in the DFW market, but he'll take a look at any deal, and he understands the metrics of real estate, especially multifamily, and he loves to talk about it.
Well, you know, one of the things, when you send your email to multifamily at realestateguysradio.com, you not only get his report, but you get on the list to get his what he calls tombstones. These are little case studies where he talks about deals that closed, and it gives you a chance to just begin to get your mind around the deal flow. And of course, they're the deals he's doing, and most of them are going to be in the DFW area, which may or may not be of interest to you. But it still gives you a chance to start looking at a lot of deals. And one of the things he talked about, which I think is really important, is just the importance of getting into the deal flow. And to your point, Robert, it's a relationship business. It has always been a relationship business. And even with social media and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, you have to connect with people. And, you know, hanging around, socializing after a live event where you've been around with a bunch of like-minded people in the bar, having conversations about things you've just been absorbing for the last day or two, or in the case of the summit, an entire week, you really get a chance to build some relationships. And I'll tell you, I've said this many, many times, and I continue to believe it with everything that's in me. You're only one relationship away from opening up a whole new market, building a whole new team, discovering a whole new access to new customers or clients or prospects for whatever your offering is. One relationship away from an explosion in your business. But nobody's going to come over to your house and knock on your door and wake you up out of a dead sleep and offer you an opportunity. You've got to get out there. That's why we go to live events. That's why we put on live events. It's why we promote other people's live events. I hope that you're getting the message. I'd love to have you come out to, you know, a live event, shake your hand, and maybe hang out in the bar and have a beer together.
Our entire calendar practically is on our website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on events and you'll see lots of stuff that we're doing and other folks are doing, places that will be. Love to see the live event. Big thanks to Michael Becker for his time today. If you want a copy of that report, send an email to multifamily@realestateguysradio.com. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.